Colonel Burke, Reel 18.
Well, there you are. That finished us. We were in enemy hands. We were soon picked up, rounded up by the Germans, and our wounds were dressed. And then we were put back beyond Juvencourt to a village and left. Left without food, left without everything. You could hear jack-booted Germans marching through the cobble streets all through the day, all through the night. You could hear their transport when suddenly we were given a very watery soup and put into a train, and we were on the way to Germany.
Your first stop when you got into Germany was at Heidelberg, where you were moved into hospital for treatment. What sort of treatment did you get from the Germans? How did they look after you?
Terribly, from my point of view.
In what way?
Well, I had been wounded, as you know, previously, and I had been used to nice soft beds, sheets, washed and shaved every morning, your wounds dressed. So when we arrived here, we laid on straw palliasses, hard beds, with two blankets. And the treatment of the dressings were terrible. I mean, I complained the first time about a dressing. It was supposed to be white lint going on, and it was brown in the middle, and I told shut up. And I realized afterwards that they were reusing all their dressings because they were so short. They were sterilized. It was perfectly... It looked nasty, you see. I was in a ward with about six Russians, men they were, about 10 French, a few Belgian and two Italians. And I couldn't speak any of these languages. And every morning when the doctor came to me, these fellows had been there a fairly long time. There were two other Englishmen in the ward with me, but they were down the other end. He used to probe all my wounds and gave me absolute hell. Well, I sweated with the pain, but I wouldn't yell out. And finally, after about a week of this, it was a Frenchman who told me that I was merely behaving silly, that if I shouted, he would stop. So I thought I would try this. So the next day he came and he put the probe in, and immediately he did, I yelled. Ha! Ah, he said. And I said, why did you do that? Why did you stop? Why did you go on probing me all the other days? He said, because pain is good for the Englishman. You see? Another time, we had to sit up. Doesn't matter what our condition were, we had to sit up if there was any German colonel or general coming round on inspection. And outside the door, there were always a guard with fixed bayonets and rifles. And the guard used to, one with a rifle, come round with our own ward doctor and the orderlies and the colonel. And then when he'd gone, anything that you'd been given that was new was stripped off you and you returned back to the old treatment. Well, once I was taken down for an operation and I had an anaesthetic. But the second time I had one in bed and I didn't know what was going to happen. And somebody hurt me and I brought my hand down and my hand in coming down hit the assistant doctor, and immediately up came the butt of the rifle, smashed into my jaw and broke my jaw. I was in bed, remember, broke my jaw. So right, there was that. Later on we had some Swiss people came round, the Swiss commission, to see if we were being humanely treated. We had sheets given us. There was a beautiful new trolley brought in. all disinfectants and new instruments. And this was wheeled proudly up in case they wanted to see anybody's wound. We weren't allowed to say a word. Immediately they'd gone. Away went the trolley. Back came the old dirty one that we had. Off was taking the sheets. Back came our palliasis. Now, I was gradually losing weight because nobody knew whether I was dead or wounded. Each week in the paper, it was missing, feared, dead. So I didn't get any Red Cross parcels. And I couldn't eat this raw flesh they gave us, which was terrible.
What was the food they gave you?
What?
What was the food they gave you?
Well, this raw flesh, some kind of meat, I suppose. Very little of it. And then you'd have soup. Well, I've seen better soup as washing up stuff. Well, by the time you finish washing your plates and that, it looked just like that would. It was hot water. You could see a faint glimmer of grease on the top and a few cabbage leaves burnt up. Well, the only reason you took it is because it was hot. I never saw an egg. I never saw tea. I never saw milk. I never saw white bread. The whole time I was in Germany. And occasionally we had this soup which had a 2-inch square of meat about 1/2 inch thick. And that was the only time I saw women or nurses. They'd come in and take my temperature just as the food was being dished out. I was in bed, Mark, and she'd say, "Oh, you've got temperature, you can't have this." She'd take mine away. Outside. Well, it came back, there was no meat in it. They ate the meat. They were starving. They ate the meat. I went to Germany 12 stone 2. When I arrived back in England, on October the 30th, I was 6 stone 8. Well, later on, I got moved to Mannheim because there was bombing of Heidelberg. And it was only a bit further down the Rhine because Heidelberg and Mannheim were the sort of Oxford and Cambridge of Germany. And then suddenly one day I was told I was going to be moved, going to go home. Oh, I couldn't believe it. Anyhow, what dress I had left, which was one boot, and I put my pair of trousers, a tunic, which they'd cut off my medal ribbon, they'd cut off 2 or 3 buttons, they'd cut off the, you know, for souvenirs, no hat, and a pair of terrible crutches they gave me. And we were moved, and I went to Cologne. Well, during going through the streets of Cologne, there were about 10 others with us, some were on stretchers. The women, you know, started hitting one with umbrellas and spitting at you. And we got to Cologne station, where we had to be put in the sort of waiting room because they were so hostile. Well, then we were put in the carriage, and it seemed endless. I don't know how long it was. We arrived at this place, Aix-la-Chapelle, which is now called Aachen. And there were a devil of a lot of us. Well, we soon found out that the repatriation scheme, which we had heard of, some of us had, I hadn't, had come into being. And you either got marked on you by the time the doctors finished a 1 or a 2 or a 3 or a 4. Now, 1 was England. We didn't know it at the time. 2 was observation for a week. 3 was internment in Holland. And 4 was back to your camp. Well, they soon moved the back to your camp fellows away because they were, you know, very down. We soon got to find out what it was. Now, Aachen was on the borders of Belgium and Holland. And one day we went to the Aachen station in transport, where we were put on a very fine hospital train. And well, the hospital train that brought me to Germany was good too. We were put on the German orderlies and everything, and it steamed off for about half an hour when it apparently arrived in the first station in Holland and halted. And there the Germans all got out and the Dutch came on. Well, it was our turn then to open the windows and chuck the glasses and bottles of water which you had beside your bunks at the Germans, which were lined up on the station. We hurled everything that was movable at them. Well, we then went down to The Hague, and at The Hague we had a feed. Well, when I say a feed, it was delicious. Beautiful milk coffee, hot rolls and butter. Well, I took mine down as much as I could, and I was sick. The doctor immediately ordered that I should be on milk and water. So I was on 2/3 milk and 1/1 of water, much to my but I must tell you one thing. Just before leaving Aachen, a doctor had his wrist off, and he was told that we're just going to patch this up. He said, "Oh, no, you don't. I'm going to England. I should be all right. If you do not let us patch this up, you will not go to England. You'll go back to your camp." So he thought, well, they can't do much harm. He thought they were going to cut just a bit more and make the flap, which you have to have for an amputation, you see. But to his utter astonishment, when he came back to the ward we were in, his right arm was across his chest, and he had a huge, plaster of Paris, encased in plaster of Paris. Well, he couldn't understand this, and he couldn't get any thing from the Germans. It wasn't hurting, certainly. He couldn't move it off his chest, so that naturally because of the plaster cast. Well, we were there 2 or 3 more days, and then we went down to The Hague. Well, the Hague fellows saw it, and they said, "Well, I don't think we'll touch it, doctor, do you?" He said, no, we won't. When are we going to England?" "Oh, tomorrow." "Oh, well, that'll be okay." Well, by the time we got to England, we landed in Boston in Lincolnshire, and then were taken down to London, and we were all put in the Prince of Wales Hotel, which had been turned into an emergency hospital. And there, funnily enough, this fellow came into the same room as I was. We were 4 to a room. And they said, "Well, we'll take this off you now. And do you know, this is the honest truth, when they took that bandage off, the stump of his right arm was grafted to his left breast." Well, what an inane thing to do. But just sadistic, you see. Yes. Well, they looked at me and asked me where I lived. I said, Plymouth. I said, "There's a big hospital there." And I said, "My father is a doctor and he is in one of the wards." "Oh, well, do you think you're fit to travel?" I said, "Yes, rather." So the first thing I did was to go to Cox and King's and ask for a checkbook. And when they gave it to me, I wrote a check and they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, you're dead. I can't give you any money." So I got them to go on to the War Office, you see, and the War Office, after about half an hour, came back. "Oh, yes, he's just been repatriated. He wasn't dead after all." So lucky I was able to draw some money, and I got put on a train at Paddington. Now, my father was a doctor in Plymouth, and he happened to be the doctor of the Great Western Railway in Plymouth. So obviously he had telephoned the Great Western Railway, and when I got there, I was in a first-class carriage. The restaurant staff bought me everything they could. Well, mind you, there was rationing, the war wasn't over. And I arrived in Plymouth North Road Station, and as I stepped from the train and greeted my parents, on the right was the band of the 3rd Battalion Devonshire Regiment playing me home.
Fantastic.
And, there you are, that's how I got home. My father, through the agency of my father, I got to one of the best orthopaedic specialists in England at the time, and that was at Alderhay Hospital, Liverpool, where I finally came out of hospital in May 21, being just over 3 years. And I was then better. I had a month's leave, and I went over and I was fighting the shin pain in July 1921 and back to Judy.